All right, so I'm not Pastor Buddy. I'm like here, and he's, what, 6'12"? Pastor Buddy has never missed a Sunday morning for sickness from what he said in his text this morning. So he is not here today because he is under the weather. And so he hasn't tested for that awful virus nobody likes. And it may just be a stomach bug. But either way, let's pause a moment and pray for our pastor right now. And he's probably watching. So, Buddy, we love you. We're praying for you right now. Lord, we lift up our lead pastor and his precious wife. And we ask that you bring him healing this morning. Bring him peace and comfort as he is away from the place and the people he loves so much this morning. We are here for your glory and for your honor. And as I share a message you've given me this morning, and as we've sang about you, to you, and for you this morning, and as we'll sing again in a little while, let us remember it's not about us and all about you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to venture into Matthew this morning, and it may be familiar scripture to some of you, and to some of you, you may like, what is Matthew? Well, it's one of four books called the Gospels in the New Testament, which is really the second half of the Bible, and we're going to venture into some real-life happenings that Jesus not only encountered, but he instigated in a very good way. So have you ever had to surrender? You ever had to raise that proverbial white flag and just say, I can't do this, I'm not strong enough? Think about that a minute. Could be a health challenge, could be a relationship challenge, could be a career challenge, a class in school that's just driving you nuts. We have conflicts, we have fears, we have worries, we have doubts. And we have all this range of human emotion that we deal with on top of that because we're flawed and imperfect. But Jesus is not. And so he's given us a way to find his peace, to find his purpose, to actually really crush living in this life, to do it with excellence. But it won't look like worldly success, probably. And it won't look like worldly fame, and it won't carry a lot of worldly fortune with it, probably. But what it will carry is eternal. And it won't just impact you and me. It'll impact those around us. So let's look into some things Jesus didn't do, for starter, as we consider waving our white flags of surrender to Jesus. I surrender all in 2022. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app you use, then we're going to be in Matthew 6 for a few minutes, and then we'll journey over to Matthew 14 for another few minutes. So what did Jesus didn't? Jesus did a lot of things, but Jesus didn't do a lot of things as well. The first thing Jesus didn't do is he didn't scurry. He didn't seem to rush around and fly around anywhere. He was always in the moment. Have you ever met somebody that they just don't slow down? If that's your spouse or somebody you know, just point at them. It's fun. We'll judge people this morning. How fun that'll be in church, right? No, my family's probably pointing at me right now because I'm really bad at slowing down. Anybody else confess like me? I'm really bad at slowing down and being in the moment. I want to make sure everything's right here, there, and over there, and I won't stop until I feel comfortable that it's right. Well, Jesus didn't scurry around. If we go into Matthew 6 and we look at verses 19 through 21, we'll really see how he is always, and he was always, in the moment. He didn't even have a room or a home to call his own to live in on earth. He talked about the foxes having dens and the birds having nests and that the Son of Man, he didn't even have a place to call home on earth. Yet he knew it would be okay because he was following his Father's orders, his purpose for his mission here on earth. Jesus was about needs, not wants. How can you be about needs really in people if you're scurrying around, if we're rushing around so fast that we don't stop to listen? And I'm preaching to myself much more than anybody else when I share that. But let's take a look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Should be on screen as well. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy. So, I had a favorite pair of jeans. I've had several favorite pair of jeans. Anybody like me? You got a favorite pair of jeans? Maybe it's shorts. Maybe you're like, no, all I wear is sweatpants. Some of you ladies, I'm a leggings person. You got a favorite pair? What happens to them eventually? They fail. what your pockets wear out on your jeans if you're a guy. Maybe girls too, I don't know. But I know for me, my pockets wear out and they'll start to form these holes in there. And when Penny comes up, my wife, and says, I can see your underwear through your jeans, it's past time to replace them. Things wear out here. Cars rust, cars get dirty, you have to keep washing them. Treasures here on earth, as fun as they may be, and there's nothing wrong if you got lots of stuff. Enjoy that. Just don't let it consume you. But treasures here on earth, there's one thing about them. If they don't tear up or break or your jeans don't become too holy to wear, people buy them with holes. Isn't that funny? I'm not judging you either if you buy them with holes. I just can't get past that, and I can't do it myself. I don't know why. Am I old school? So Jesus says, don't store up treasures here on earth. He says, store up treasures in heaven. In that next verse, he says, and thieves do not break in and steal if you store up your treasures in heaven. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. That's an interesting thing there. Because I have favorite stuff a lot. I had a favorite phone, and it started showing an error, and I had to replace that phone. So I got one just like it. And I'm one of the Android people, so Apple people mock me now. But I got my replacement Android and got everything on it, but then it changed a bunch of settings and frustrated me. That's the thing about temporary things. Eventually, they'll let us down. They'll fail us. And so if our heart is with that earthly treasure, we'll find worry and fear and anger and misery at some point because those things are just temporary. Jesus knew and he demonstrated what mattered most. What would that be? Honoring God in every aspect of his life, every aspect. So let's look at this. Jesus didn't let his vision get blurry. Okay, I'll be the first to tell you. I did this Wednesday night with students, too, in a much smaller room. If I take my glasses off right now, I know where some of you are sitting, and I know you. But if I just walked in this room up here, didn't look at you, I couldn't even recognize my wife and daughter, and I don't know who you are. I can't see. Now I can see everybody. Hello, there you are. In 3D, too amazing, right? So without my glasses, life gets blurry, very blurry. It's too dangerous for me to drive without them. Too dangerous for me to walk down the street without them. I just can't see without my glasses. And something happens as you get a little older, and some can relate, some will be relating. I've got bad news for you if you're not relating to that yet and you're in corrective lenses. At some point, you go to these things called, I'm in progressives now. Anybody know what progressives are? Some people are living it right now, right, where you look out here and you see your distance, and you look about right here and you see your computer, and you look down here, and you read stuff. It's earth-shattering technology. My life was changed when it happened. I had to give up my contact lenses, and now I can see. Well, Jesus didn't let his vision get blurry. What does that mean? Well, let's go to the scripture and see what we're talking about here. The next verse here in Matthew 6, the 22nd and 23rd verse, is your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. Now let's pause before we go to that next verse. So possessions, human infatuations, being liked, being noticed, these things blur our vision. And that list goes on and on and on. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we looking at? Who and what are we influenced by? You know, we're influenced by everything we look at with our eyes, everything we hear with our ears. Even things we taste, we're influenced by those things. But we go to the next verse here. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So what if we were living life upside down? What if we thought everything? There's a new Matrix movie coming, I think it's out now for movie buffs. I haven't decided if I want to go see it yet or wait to stream it because I love streaming. Anybody else who's streamers? Like, yeah, I'll just wait on it to come out, sit in my house, in my chair, and watch that. Well, when you take the red pill, you wake up and see this, what the world's really like there. And it's pretty frightening in the Matrix movies. In real life, when we start to apply Jesus's principles to our lives and to what we see and what we experience, it can change us too. We start to see that this world can be a hideous and ugly place. And we start to see that this world really doesn't have anything for us. except for things that moths and rust destroy eventually. Even our bodies wear out. From when we're born, we grow and we're eventually dying. How morbid and sad, right? But there's good news in all this. If we don't let our vision get blurry, we see that our lives are so much more than just 70 or 80, 90 years here on earth. Our lives, our souls are eternal. And what Jesus wants us to see in that what we do now, who we are and how we live now, it impacts the eternity of others as well. If our eyes are clear for Christ, it affects how we treat other people. It affects our perspective on lives. It makes us more generous to others, not with just money, with our time, with how we treat people, with the mercy we show at the red light, with the mercy and love that we show to the people that are around us most, the people we live with in our house, the people that may get on our nerves the most and we get on their nerves the most. When our vision's not blurry and our light is truly the light of Christ, it impacts and affects us in a way that not just draws us closer to God and brings glory to Him, but it helps others see and experience or at least wonder what that is enough to want to experience this relationship with Jesus that we have. But if we think it's all about putting on a show, being one person on Sunday or Wednesday or at FCA or whatever Christian groups you go to, and then you're another person, we're another person the rest of our lives, then we don't get it. We've got blurry vision, and we're heading for destruction. So Jesus didn't let his vision get blurry. We're going to look at how to not let our vision get blurry in a moment. But first, Jesus didn't. And this just, if you never have believed Jesus was perfect ever in your life, you're still skeptical about that. This part right here, if I were like that, would just blow my mind to the point of he's got to be perfect if he doesn't do this. Jesus didn't worry. He didn't worry. How? How? We can all say we don't worry. I can say, I worry. It's a sin. Not proud of it. And I have to remember to pray. Life can be scary. I don't want to rewind, but just for a moment. But if you rewind back to last year, there were some scary times, right? You can reflect right now, things that may have caused you to worry, things that raised your anxiety level, things that may have caused you to fear. See, Jesus was fearless, worry-free, and he was calm no matter what, especially when it was stormy. Literally stormy, or emotionally stormy, or just the world around him didn't even love him enough to respect him and honor him and listen to him. Instead, they threw things at him and mocked him and made fun of him and nailed him to a criminal's cross. See, Jesus didn't worry. It's mind-blowing. So we've had worries. Do we have worries about this year? If we try to think too far ahead, there are things that can concern us. The next named pandemic virus, what to do about it? Are we all going to be here? Will the economy collapse? How will it affect my school day? All these things, we can let that become worries to us. Or we can fight and battle. Actually, we can. That reminds me of the song a few minutes ago. We can give the battle to Jesus, and we can fight to focus on him. We can let that blurry vision go away, and we can put our lenses of the Bible, the wisdom in the Bible, on by looking at it, and we can trust him. Now, I had one of the scariest things that's ever happened in my life, probably the scariest, happened to me on October 5th of last year. And it's a day that I will always remember. It's a day when I was riding my bike and enjoying my ride, except for I had these weird pains in both my arms. No chest pain. Weird, huh? Because I had a heart attack. And many of you know the story. Many of you prayed for me, sent cards, and called and checked on me, came to visit me, and I love you all, and thank you again so much for that. But there's nothing that hits you quite like a health circumstance. And some of you, many of you have gone through something similar. I pray nobody that is heart attack-free and cancer-free and all has to go through it. But many in this room have battled many things and are battling many things. And I tell you this, there is no way in this world I could have stayed as calm as I did enough to call and get my wife and daughter to come pick me up and then them say, you're going to the hospital because I'm stubborn, and I'm like, nah, I'm fine, it's probably food poisoning. Nope. But as we went to the hospital, we were freakishly calm. That's God. And as we got there, and they put me in there and put an EKG on me, and then a bunch of people came in the room, they said, things are going to get really busy really fast. And they did. And so I looked at one of the nurses, and I said, so I guess I had a bad EKG. Made her laugh for a second. And so then they started shaving me, and I just had a brand new pair of shorts. I was talking about jeans. I had a favorite pair of shorts. And they're like, oh, we're going to cut off those. I'm like, oh, no, I got this. And so, that's me. There was me with my blurred vision. And so anyway, I'm 30 minutes later probably going back, and I had two pieces of metal put in one of my arteries, my RCA. And they said, yeah, you're going to come back in a month and get one more. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're going to have to change how you live and what you do, and you're going to be on some new medicines. And if you don't, this will happen again. And even if you do, it could happen again because it's hereditary. Like, great news, right? Our bodies are temporary. But God carried us through that. God carried us through. Oh, we worried, but every time we turned to Jesus, the worry disappeared. But we had to keep turning. And that's what you got to do. Don't beat yourself up inside if the worries come back. Keep turning to Jesus. He's patient. He's loving. He's kind. And he's always in the moment in your life. He knows what you're feeling inside right now. And he'll know tomorrow and this week when you face trials and troubles. He'll know. No matter if you're a child, a student, an adult of any of the generations present here today, he knows and he is with you. So God carried me through that. And then I stopped and I reflected. And I want to tell you this because I hope it helps you too. I'm stubborn. And as I reflected back, the Holy Spirit, God had been speaking to me, telling me, you need to change your eating habits. You need to get back in shape and take care of yourself. And I was just blocking that out. And I was just drinking more Dr. Peppers and eating all the sugar I could stand and just having a great time. This is tough here, I know. Because I was like, I'm going to die with a smile on my face. I'm happy. I'm just going to keep eating. And then it hit me like it did. And I was like, I've got to start listening to God because apparently he has something for me to do still on this earth, which is why I stand before you today. It's God. It's not me. And so I need to pay attention. And I say that to you because I encourage you to pay attention to what God has for you. You're breathing in this room right now. You're watching on Facebook Live. God has a purpose for you to be here. Your life is not yours. It's his. He has a mission for you. He has a plan for you. He wants you to take his love into your workplaces, into your schools, into your sports teams, into your clubs, into stores, into malls, into theme parks, wherever it is you go and whatever you do. He wants us to carry his attitude, to be his hands and feet to the world, to show love, to show care, to show patience, to show kindness, and to keep going. And he wants us to do what we have to do to take care of ourselves. I stand before you today, and I'm a little skinnier than I used to be. And I don't eat things I used to eat, and I'm not telling you that to put you on a guilt trip. I'm telling you, I was the most stubborn eater the world has ever seen. And when God convicted me, I'm just confessing really to you today is what I'm doing. When God convicted me and told me, you've got to change, I decided I was going to do it. And I don't know if people close to me actually believed I could do it or not because they saw me eat and enjoy life so much. And God, by the grace of God, he helped me do that. And I'm still here. It's all him, not me. But if I just worried or just said, I don't care, I don't have any purpose for Jesus, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do in my life until I die, whatever, what good does that do him? Absolutely nothing. So, unblur my vision. Stop worrying. Focus on Christ. So, here's the warning here in the Bible here. No one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? You know, a life of worry is really a life of misery. It's a life full of sin. So now let's look at what Jesus did. Yeah, stop worrying. Stop putting things out of focus. It's a challenge every day. Don't. So let's talk about do. What did Jesus do? Jesus did this. First thing he did, he paused. He paused always. What? What? He paused. He stopped. That's almost impossible to do the way life is expected to be lived today. The pressures of this life, you go. Got to get there. You see, if you drive around much, you see there are people who are in a big hurry a lot of times. If you walk around a lot, there are people in a big hurry, and they huff and puff and get up in your business in the Publix line or Hobby Lobby or wherever, and it's like, man, you just wait, it'll be fine, and they never pause and think about, what does God want me to do, or I need to be in the moment and look around and see if there's someone he wants me to impact here, someone just to share a smile with, or someone to possibly just have a conversation about faith with. So, Matthew 14, we jump to one of my favorite true stories in the Bible. You know, the Bible is true. It's full of truth. It's a history book as much as it is anything else. So, immediately after this, Jesus insisted his disciples get back in the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So Jesus had healed people and preached and done all these miraculous things. And he said, all right, let's go. Let's get in the boat and let's go. All right, disciples, I'm going to dismiss you. Go eat, go rest. I need some alone time. Jesus set an example right there. This is recorded in the scripture so we would know we need to do the same. So Jesus took off and spent alone time with God that night. And he prayed. And it says night fell while he was there alone. He wasn't paying attention to where the sun was in the sky. He didn't have another plan for the day except for, I need time with my Heavenly Father. So he showed us to go. Forget about the clock. Forget about the alarms and the calendar notifications on your phone that day. And go and spend time with God. I know today that's kind of hard to do. And I'm not telling you to miss appointments and things. So let's look at it this way. Maybe in my calendar, in my phone, my Google calendar, or whatever you use, maybe I need to take and block out some time. Ooh. 7 to 10 p.m. on this day. Oh, that's 3 hours. Anything more important than I could do to spend time with God for 3 hours? No, I need to do that. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to block it out on my calendar. If people call or need me, I'm just going to let them know I won't be available during that time. What if we did that for just 5 minutes even with Jesus like that? Jesus thought enough of it to show his disciples that it was a huge deal by saying, all right, you guys go on. I've got to get away and spend time in prayer. So pray alone, listen to God, reflect, and find peace. Now, I have ADD. It was never diagnosed. I just know I have it. My family knows I have it. I'm distracted all the time, and I have to really focus in when I'm sharing with you. And if somebody walked in the door back there, I would probably stop just for a quick second. You might not even notice. You probably would now. And I'd look over there and see who it was or if I knew the person or what's going on because I'm just distracted. So praying for a long time, for me, that's challenging because I can start praying to God and thinking, I really want a sandwich. And I can start praying to God and thinking, oh, wow, did that was a new episode of Boba Fett out on Disney? Some of you have seen it, haven't you? It's pretty good. But and I start thinking about those things. I need to pray. I need to pause and focus. So I battle that. And so it's hard. But we have to just try to be disciplined. I got a devotion book this year. We gave our male youth workers, and I got one too. And it's a one-page devotion book. It has a verse, and it tells you what passage it came from. And it has 2 to 3 paragraphs, usually, of text. And it's great every day. It's ADD-friendly for me. And so I can do that, and I can reflect on that. Last year, I decided I was going to take the BibleGateway.com verse of the day every day, and I was going to reflect on that for a while, or throughout the day, every day. ADD, it was friendly to me. Or maybe you're a reader. Now, if you're a reader, you're like, I can't fathom what you're talking about right now, Eric. And so you can read. Maybe you can sit down and do that without being distracted. I'm not you, and you're not me. That's a good thing. God made us all unique and different. But I promise you this, if you make an effort to pause for Jesus, it will do nothing but help your life. Jesus loved as well. In Matthew 14, starting with verse 28, then Peter called to him. Because, oh yeah, let's back up. Why was Peter calling to him? It was stormy on a lake, and because Jesus had sent them on, and he had went to pray. And Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you. Oh, wait, I think I jumped over two verses. Can we back up? I got excited and backed up. Jesus was present. We have an awesome tech team. If we can go back there and help me because I'm very imperfect, that would be great because I don't want you to miss this. I didn't even tell you this part of the story. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, far away from, there's just water. Now, some of you are great in a boat, right? I like to ride the boat, but I'm always thinking, where's the life jacket? Because I never grew up around water, and my mom had this fear of deep water. So the disciples were in trouble, far away from land. That would scare me. For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Okay, what? Jesus came towards them walking on the water, and they were fighting this storm. Here's Jesus on the water, waves crashing everywhere, probably thunder and lightning, and here he comes. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were afraid. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. So what they do, like, oh, good, come on in. They were still terrified, except for this happened, where we jumped to where I was earlier. Jesus loved to try to jump ahead. So they're terrified. Glad Jesus is there, but terrified. And then Peter does this. Peter called out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Walking on the water. Tell me to come to you. Tell me to get out of the boat and me walk on the water to you. So Jesus humored Peter. He said, yeah, come. So Peter went over to the side of the boat, jumped in the water, and he walked on the water towards Jesus. He was looking at Jesus while he was walking. You know, in love, actions speak louder than words. I wonder if Peter was the only one that would have considered jumping out of this boat of guys who loved Jesus and followed him every day. Make you wonder, doesn't it? Peter jumped out of the boat, and he walked. Jesus said, come on, I'm going to be patient with you. You're still doubting me, even though it's me right here. I just told you it's me. I never lie. Come on. Next verse, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. What did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus. Took his eyes away. And when that happened, his vision blurred. Worry and fear crept in. And he started thinking about everything except for the one thing, the one person that can save him. Oh, yeah. Jesus loved because of this. Jesus immediately, this next verse, reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Instead of just letting him sink and flail around the water for a little while, you ever thought about this? And let him just pat, oh, I'm dying, help me, help me, and then pull him up. Jesus reaches out and shows him love. Says, oh, your faith is so small in me. Come on, I'll help you. When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. You know, they had to see him put on a show to follow him. If we get to a point where we have to see a show to follow Jesus, then we're in bad shape. We're in trouble. Show me a miracle and I'll follow you, Jesus. Heal me and I'll follow you. That is not the right way to live, and that is living life upside down and a lack of faith and the lack of understanding of who Jesus is and the power of God right there. The strong wind, the waves, we'll probably see some of that in 2022 in our lives. We'll probably deal with that. What happens if we take our eyes off Jesus during that? We'll sink. What happens if we keep our eyes on him? Even if whatever we face kills our body, we will be perfectly healed and forever in heaven with him. We win either way. I wish and I hope and I pray that if you've never really believed that Jesus is who he says he is, that this morning you'd be like those disciples when they saw him yet again and say, you really are the Son of God. You really are our Savior. There's nothing you can't do. I pray more than anything you would experience that this morning. And if you've let blurred vision, fear, anxiety, doubt, and all those things creep in just because you've had health challenges, or just because you've had financial challenges, or just because you've had social challenges, whatever's going on in your life, if you've let that creep in, you can release that to Jesus. You can surrender that to him. You can wave the white flag of surrender to him. See, there's no shame in surrendering to Jesus. It's a shame to not surrender to him. There's a lot in this Gospel of Matthew. There's a lot in this Bible that can encourage us. And if you could just take your Bible or your app, maybe later today, and check out these passages in Matthew again and read them a little slowly, maybe even jot down some notes or think about how God speaks to you through them, he will speak to you through those things. Here's what I found in my life as I continue to go through this life. I found that the old song we sang at our Baptist campus ministry in college, Jesus is the answer for the world today, above him there's no other, Jesus is the way, found it to be true. Jesus is the answer for every worry, every fear, and every need that you have, that I have in 2022. The question is, do you trust him? Do you trust him today? I didn't ask about what level. You might have just a little tiny bit of trust for him, and your vision gets blurry about trusting him. It's a start. You trust him. We're not perfect. We're going to slip up. We're going to forget. We're going to fail. We're going to have dark days and bad times. But no matter what affects or afflicts our bodies, no matter how bad we feel about relationships and things with people, no matter if we fail something at work or at school or whatever, no matter what, if we're surrendered to Jesus, there will be peace. It won't make sense because there's no words that can explain the peace that Jesus gives us in our heart from trusting him. There's an old hymn, a beautiful old hymn, and it won't be on screen. I'm just going to read the lyrics because if I sing, your ears will bleed. So I'm just going to read the lyrics. It's called I Surrender All. The first part of it is all to Jesus. I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Second verse, all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, all to you, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I don't know what it is you might need to surrender this morning. I know for me that it's my fears, my worries, my concerns about the future, and the list is too long to mention. And I have to surrender them every day. And so I know you're dealing with things you need to surrender to Jesus too. If you have a relationship with him and you know him, you can surrender them to him right now. You might have to do it twice a day, three times a day, and every day. Because those doubts, those fears, they nag, and they come back at us, those worries. But if you surrender, if we surrender those things to Jesus, he will freely give us grace, love, and mercy. There's nothing better than the peace of Jesus, I promise. If you don't know who Jesus is and what he's all about, he came to the earth because the earth had gotten so sinful that God had to send his son on a mission. On a mission that would end in death to those who don't fully believe, but end in eternal life and victory for everybody, for those who believe he's who he says he is. So he lived a perfect life on earth, even as a child, even as a teenager. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Even as a young adult, never sinned, never did anything wrong. And then he didn't get to experience senior adulthood or things like that in a human body because at about 33 years old, he was arrested and tried and convicted for doing nothing wrong ever. You know what? He took to the cross with him, a criminal's cross. We wear them as pretty necklaces now and things, and those are cool. But what he really did and what really happened there, the cross was nothing great at all. It was a horrible place where they put either unfairly accused people or murderers and the gamut in between on them to die. They nailed him to that shameful cross. They mocked him, made fun of him. They treated him terribly. And even while on that cross, he prayed for even his persecutors, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He showed compassion and love to even his persecutors. So Jesus, gave his life for you because they put him in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he woke back up from death, from literal bodily death. His body woke back up, and the tomb that was sealed with this rock that could only have been moved out of the way by God. And people saw him for days after that, for weeks after that. And he cooked them fish. He ate. He showed them, I'm real. And then he ascended into heaven. He says, guess what? I'm going there. One day I'll be back. And if you know me, you'll get to live eternally with me in heaven. So you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. You can tell him, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my wrongs. I believe you, and I want to give my life to you. And then you can surrender to him. If that's you, and you need to do that today, or you have more questions about that, it's not a decision you need to rush. Ask all the questions you want. I'd love to talk to you afterward. Or maybe it's a fear or worry or situation in your life or your family that's nagging at you and hurting you, and it makes you stay up at night even. Whatever that is, surrender it to Jesus this morning and trust him. And when you do that, you will begin to see and find a peace that passes all understanding and makes no sense humanly that comes over you. If you surrender your 2022 to Jesus, he will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. He will be with you through whatever lies ahead. And if whatever lies ahead kills you in your body, he'll just take you to heaven with him. Perfect healing forever and ever and ever. Wow. I can't think of any greater gift than that right there. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing again. I'm going to be silent for a moment before I say some words. If you want to just like look down, you don't have to close your eyes or anything. If you want to look down, even bow your head for a moment, and just think about what you might want to surrender to Jesus, or think about whatever God brings to mind to pray for somebody, to care for them, someone you need to be in the moment with, to go and show love to encourage. This would be the time to do that right now. Jesus, may this be our prayer. All to you we surrender. All to you we freely give. We will ever love and trust you. In your presence in 2022, we'll daily live. Humbly at your feet, we'll bow. We'll forsake worldly pleasures. We want to be taken by you and not consumed by them.